Well, come with me to some of the last words of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Words so important that God seems to say, if you hear nothing else, hear this. That if you're about to leave the room, just one last thing. If you forget everything else, God seems to say, then remember this. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Maybe we could sum it up by saying, thirsty, water, come. And we have four things to say. First thing is this, thirsty. Now maybe I should be preaching this on a hot summer's evening, not a cold winter's night. But we all know about thirst. It's a universal experience. Maybe you've been for a long walk. Into my mind's eye, I can see I'm walking with my friend Dick, and we're doing the Snowdon Horseshoe. Have you done the Snowdon Horseshoe? It's in North Wales. There's Snowdon, and there's two other peaks, and you can do this horseshoe. And there we are, we're walking the Snowdon Horseshoe. It's a hot day, and it's a cloudless sky. There's not a breath of a breeze, and the sun is beating down. We've already walked two-thirds of the horseshoe, and then we decide to run the last third. You can tell it was a long time ago. So as we quicken the pace, as we start to run, and it's a cloudless sky, and there's not a breath of air, and the sun is beating down, what do you find yourself doing? You start thinking about water. Cool, cool water. And as you go on, thinking becomes fantasizing. You start thinking, water, water. And then it becomes hallucinating. Cool, cool water. Give me a drink. Something cool to drink. And then when you arrive back, you take your first gulp. There's nothing quite like it, is there? It just feels so, so good, cool water on a parched tongue. It's like liquid life. And you can feel it just going through your weary body. And as it goes down, it's like resurrection. You can feel the life returning. And it satisfies like nothing else. Wonderful. When you're thirsty, when you can think about nothing else, and then cool, cool water. Perhaps you're beginning to see what this verse is saying. Now, why do we thirst? Well, when I was a biology teacher, we used to do GCSE and A-level, and we used to look into the biochemistry and the physiology of thirst. You know, you probably like homeostasis and all of that stuff. But that's the biological explanation for thirst, isn't it? It's the mechanism for thirst. It's not actually what thirst is. Now, the Bible teaches that because God made the world and God made me, everything in the world is like a pointer, it's like a signpost to something deeper. That everything he made points to a deeper reality. And so God made me with a desire for water. I need water for life. And that desire grows so strong, so irresistible, that we call that desire thirst. But there's a deeper reality. It's just a signpost. Where is it pointing? It's that God made me for himself. God made me with a desire, a thirst, which only God himself can satisfy. And when God does satisfy me, then it's nothing less than liquid life. Resurrection, overflowing fullness, which fills the empty chambers of my soul and satisfies me as nothing else can. And this verse is speaking of that thirst. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Come, take the water of life freely. The water of life. God describes himself as the water of life. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll find there's a river. It starts in the book of Genesis, and that river flows all the way through the Bible. And we trace the source of that river in Revelation to the very throne of God. So chapter 22, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's a picture of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Spirit who is God, and he brings God to us. The Spirit of God who drenches us with the very life of God. The Spirit of God who fills our souls to overflowing. That's why we read Psalm 36 at the beginning. We read, you give them drink from the river of your delights. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's saying we come to God thirsty. We come to God with our emptiness. And we drink freely from the river of his delights. The enjoyment of God himself. So God is the river. And he gives the water of life. He himself is that very water, the water of life. And he invites us to drink. He says, take the water of life without price. Take it freely. Now, you know what I'm saying isn't strange. Not if you stop and think. Because thirst is a universal language, isn't it? We do use it to talk about water on a hot summer's day, but we use it in lots of other contexts. It's a universal language. We're all looking for something more. Something beyond. We're all thirsty. And God isn't, as it were, cashing in on that feeling and saying, oh, well, if you're thirsty, think about me. I'm over here. Come to me. It's he who's made us with that thirst. It's he who's given us that thirst, and only he, therefore, can satisfy. In the words of Augustine, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Well, point number two. Thirsty, but too easily satisfied. Jesus once met a woman who'd been married 5 times, and she was currently with man number 6. She was thirsty. She was empty. In the equation of this meeting, 5 plus 1 equals 0. Equals emptiness. She's yet to find what she was looking for. And she comes to a well, and she comes to draw water. Jesus is at the well, and he says to her, as he looks at the water that's been drawn from the well, he says this, everyone who drinks of this water, pointing at the water that's come from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He says to her, look, if you drink this water, the water of the well, you'll be thirsty. You'll thirst again and again and again. And you'll have to return to this well again and again and again. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. To someone whose life had become a desert, Jesus promises water that will never run dry. Water that will fill her emptiness to overflowing. Jesus says to this woman, come to me and drink. And if you do, you'll never go looking anywhere else. Because your search will be over. Your thirst will be gone. Jesus himself gives abundant satisfaction. Why go anywhere else? But of course the fact is we do, don't we? We do go elsewhere. We never think of looking to God to satisfy our souls. In fact, there's something inside us that seems to drive us anywhere but God. I'll take anything, I'll go anywhere, just not there. So maybe shopping. Maybe that will quench those longings. You know, a bit of retail therapy, particularly when I'm down and fed up somehow. But I never have enough, do I? Or social media. But far from finding rest, it makes me restless. Or becoming popular, becoming the center of attention. But then I'm afraid of missing out. Or friendship. But then I'm afraid of being found out. Or body image. But I always feel ugly. Or intellect. But then I feel stupid. Or success. If only I was successful. If only I had a bit of something more, something extra. But the fact is, I always feel a failure. And I know my dreams won't come true. Because I'm not amazing. Okay, well, maybe I just should just have some fun. But the day always comes to an end. And when the day comes to an end, I know I'll never get that day again. Maybe while it was there, it was fulfilling, but the day now is over, and I'm empty again. Or maybe family, but great, good, but there are always bust-ups in family. And often those we love best cause us the greatest pain. And always in families there are goodbyes. Or maybe you're thinking, well, okay, well, don't tell me the answer's religion. No, the answer's not religion. Because religion will only just stress you out. Trying to prove yourself. Or keeping up appearances. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Jesus says that the wells of this world are filled with salty water. If you drink from them, you'll find yourself becoming even more thirsty, more desperate, and you'll return again and again and again, more thirsty, more desperate. Because that equation holds 5 plus 1, and whatever your 5 plus 1 happens to be, always equals 0. The problem, says Jesus, is that we're thirsty, but we're too easily satisfied. We thirst, but it never really crosses our mind. We never really take it seriously to look to the one who actually made me. The one who set that thirst in me in the first place. It never occurs to us to go to him to satisfy our souls. Johnny Wilkinson, CBE, England rugby legend, winner of the 2003 World Cup, he said this. It's very interesting. He said this. He said, to say I have played through 4 World Cups, 2 Lions Tours, 91 international games, and a ridiculous number of injuries and other setbacks gives me an incredibly special feeling of fulfillment. But then he goes on to say this, I know myself well enough to know that I will never truly be satisfied. It's very honest, isn't it? And it's thought-provoking. Here's the man who's lived the dream. Rugby is his life. He's got to the Everest of rugby. He's climbed the mountain. He's got to the top. He's a World Cup winner. And yes, you can say there is that special feeling of fulfillment. But it's not enough. It's not enough. The thirst returns. The thirst is still there. I know myself well enough to know that I will never truly be satisfied. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. My friend, are you honest enough to admit that? Well, let's move on then to number 3, point number 3. And it's an invitation to drink. An invitation to drink. Sorry, that wasn't choreographed to drink the water. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The bride says, come. Come and drink. Come to God. Come to Christ. Well, who's the bride? If you read the Bible, you find the bride is a description of those who love and who know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christians. The bride is the church. So, my friend, every time a Christian friend, or maybe it's your mum or dad, or maybe it's the preacher on a Sunday night, whenever they say to you, come to Jesus Christ, it's the bride saying, come. Here's the Lord who's worth loving. Here's the life worth living. Here is water, water that will never run dry. Water that will satisfy your soul. Come and drink. Take the water of life freely. And perhaps for much of the time, you don't take it in. In fact, maybe when they go on about these things, you actually find it irritating. But sometimes when they speak, it goes deeper. So they speak of sin. And you don't like it. You don't like the word. You don't like them talking about it. Somehow it bites. Because you know you've sinned. You've said to yourself, well, God doesn't own me. God can't tell me what to do. God's not going to sort out my life. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. Thank you very much. And yet you know that going your own way is going to bring upon you God's judgment and will send you to hell. And you have this sense, it's like God is watching me. God's always watching me. God's always there. And yes, it was the voice of friends, or maybe it was the voice of your parents, or maybe it was the voice of the preacher. It was the voice of the bride, but it was more. It was the voice of the Spirit. God the Spirit and the bride say, come. And again, sometimes when they speak of Christ, the words seem to go deep. And you can almost see him. You see that body that's broken and torn. And there's blood streaming from his head and his hands and his feet and his side. And it's robing him and it's like a baptism of suffering. And you hear it and you understand it, that he dies the death that sinners deserve. And he quenches the flames of God's wrath in his own blood. So that every sinner who comes to Jesus can enjoy peace with God and life eternal. And the preacher says to you, why don't you come to Christ? And somehow the words are bigger than the preacher's. They're his words, but it's more. Because God is in those words. And it's the Spirit speaking to you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And sometimes when they speak, it's almost too much. Because when you look at that cross, and maybe it's in the hymns as well, and in this atmosphere, and you, as it were, witness the death of God's only Son, there are times when you see your part in it all. That it was my sin that nailed him to the cross. It was my sin that made his death necessary. It was my sin that cost him so dear. And it was all done so that I, the one who said, God doesn't own me. God can't tell me what to do. It was all done so that I can be forgiven. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to Jesus. Come and drink. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. What does that mean? Well, there are lots of people who hear the gospel, hear the good news, and they do nothing. They stay exactly where they are. They're unchanged. And although they've heard, they haven't heard. There's a kind of hearing, isn't there, where you hear it with your ears and it goes no further. You don't really hear. But what of those who truly hear? Those who truly hear that when the Spirit and the Bride say, come, they do come, and they drink, and they're converted. What's the first thing they do? The first thing they do is pass on the invitation to everyone and anyone they meet. They say, you've got to hear this. We read from the woman at the well, when Jesus speaks to her and he offers her life, living water, she goes and she speaks. She talks to the people in her village. She can't stop talking about the man that she's met. Those who drink, those who find satisfaction in Christ, the first thing they do is pass on the invitation to everyone they meet. They can't stop themselves. And let the one who hears say, come, come. I was saved when I was 17. I was on a Christian house party. It was New Year 1977-78 in the Barmouth Estuary, Menadon Adventure Centre in North Wales. It's the first time I'd ever heard the gospel. And I don't really know what happened. Going on that house party, all I knew was that I was thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. I was so thirsty. When you're thirsty, you'll drink anything. But nothing satisfied. It just seemed to make things worse. I felt so empty, so despairing. I'd almost used the word lost, although I didn't really put any Bible meaning on it. And I kept thinking, something's got to change. I can't go on like this. Something's got to change. There must be an answer. There must be something out there. Thirsty, thirsty for life, for meaning, thirsty for something that was real, that wasn't pretend. Living in a world of pretending. Laughing and enjoying yourself, but knowing deep down this is rubbish, this is empty. I can't spend my days doing this. There's got to be something real out there. Then that first night when the Bible was open, there's Billy Strachan from Capenry Bible School, Glaswegian, strong Scottish accent. He starts teaching from the Bible. And for about 20 minutes, I'm looking around me thinking, what am I doing here? I've stumbled into a group of nutters. They're all just taking this book seriously. It's like being with flat earthers. What's going on? But then the Spirit and the Bride said, come. I began to see actually that I was thirsty because I was so far from God. And the Spirit and the Bride said, come. And I began to see dimly, but I could begin to see that Jesus died on a cross to save sinners. And the Spirit and the Bride said, come. And I don't know what quite happened. I don't remember repenting. Nothing conscious like that. I don't remember consciously believing. I didn't pray any prayer. I just came to Jesus as I was. And I drank. I drank freely of that living water. And I drank and drank and drank. And it filled the chambers of my soul to overflowing. And that water just poured out of me in a wave of joy and wonder and thanksgiving and peace. And this overwhelming sense that I've come home. I've been found. God is real and he's come to me. And I've drunk freely and the thirst has gone. Liquid life. So I went home, converted. My parents thought I'd gone half mad. They thought I'd got involved in some cult. Why? Because I kept saying, you've got to come and drink too. You must come and hear this. You must find out about this. Come and drink. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Everyone I met, I couldn't stop inviting them. Come. Is it madness? When you've been dying of thirst, and you find living water, and you've drunk freely, and then you look around you, and you see others are dying of thirst. And they're within reach, almost within touching distance, of living water. It's unbearable. You say, but I found it. Come with me, let's drink. Let the one who hears say, come. That's sometimes why new Christians get carried away. Sometimes it sounds like they've gone fanatical, they're going overboard. No, it's not. It's just that they found the water of life. And they can't keep it to themselves. They're saying to you, come. Maybe someone in your own family. They've been bending your ear and you're thinking, oh, here we go again. I know about this. But it's because they found living water. And they're saying to you, come. Come and drink. And so as we close, point number four. It's an invitation pressed home. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without... Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The invitation is so warm, isn't it? Because the invitation is come. That's a warm invitation. People say, come to my home, come to my house, come to my party, come to my wedding. It's warm, isn't it? God says, come. Are you thirsty? Oh, God presses this invitation into your hand with such warmth so you can never doubt his intentions. They're to do you good. They're for your best. He says, come. And the invitation is urgent, isn't it? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Three times God says, come, come, come. Don't die within sight of living water. Don't die of thirst. That's the ultimate tragedy. When here is water, so come. Here's life. Life. Eternal life. Come. Do you know, it's almost as though God is saying to you tonight, I will not take no for an answer. That the first time you say no, he says, well, come. Second time, no, well, come. You're going to hear it a third time, says God, you come. And look, the invitation is so generous, isn't it? Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. He says, take it freely. You don't have to pay anything. It's free. Because Jesus, by his cross, has done everything I could not do to put me right with God. So God says, come, come just as you are. Are you thirsty? Are you looking for life that's real? You're fed up with the pretend. Life that's satisfying. Life that's full, that you really can call it life, because you're still on a treadmill of existence and you're fed up with it. Life that even death itself can destroy. Life that's nothing less than the unalloyed enjoyment of God in Jesus Christ. The very water of life. But it's free. It's free. It's free. It's free to all who will come. Including you. And if the invitation is generous, it's also wide, isn't it? God doesn't tie us up in religious knots. What does it say? And let the one who is thirsty come. I don't know if you have you got that? Let the one who is thirsty come. God says the only qualification you need is that you're thirsty. So you may say tonight, I don't want Christ. And God says, yeah, but are you thirsty? You may say, I've got other things on my agenda. There are other things I want to do. I'm setting my heart on anything and everything except God. And then God says, yes, but are you thirsty? And you say, well, I could never believe. I could never give up my ways. I could never keep it up. But God says, yes, but are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? It's the only qualification you need. The invitation is just to those who are thirsty. You don't know what you're thirsty for, maybe. You just know you can't go on living like this. It's fine. Just if you're thirsty, come. Because the invitation is to everyone who's thirsty. Everyone who's thirsty is welcome. And let the one who is thirsty come. Just come. Because everything that is needed will be given to you when you come. You don't have to find something first and then come. If you're thirsty, just come and drink. That's the gospel. Don't complicate it. Don't add new things to it. Come. So my friend, this invitation is so warm. It's urgent, says God. Come, come, come. It's generous. It's wide. And it comes from the great beating heart of love, God's beating heart. And it's clear when you read that, almost the last words of the Bible, that God is more willing to save than we are to be saved. And so God is saying, if you must perish, if you refuse to come, if you insist on going to the place where there's not even a drop of water to cool a tormented tongue, then know this, that you perish within the sound of Jesus this night calling to you. And Jesus standing in the preaching, standing in your way, standing in your path, following you as you try to get past him, saying, come, come, come. Hear the voice of Jesus. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires, take the water of life without price. Drink freely this night. Are you thirsty? Drink freely tonight of the water of life. Thirsty? Water? Come. The invitation is to you. Let's pray. Oh God, we've cluttered up the way with so many wrong and mad thoughts about you. We pray that, Lord, you would break through our darkness, break through our foolishness, break through our defenses, and that we might see you as you are, the true, the living God, wonderful, generous, overflowing in grace. And freely this night offering us life. Oh, press it onto our hearts, Lord, with such a warmth. And make it irresistible that we have to come and drink freely. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.